Hello and welcome to Meet the Author podcast, brought to you by Graphic Publishing. I'm Kieran Minette-Jones, and today I'm joined by Ian Brown, author of Albert and the Tortoise series, to talk about Albert the Tortoise in real life and Albert the Tortoise series of children's books. Enjoy! How are you today, Ian?
I'm very good, Kieran. Thanks for asking. Yeah, no, all very good indeed. It's a bright sunny day today as we record this, and that's good news for a certain real Albert the Tortoise.
Because obviously Albert, the character in the books, is based on the real Albert the Tortoise. What's kind of background to Albert? When did you kind of have Albert, and how old is he? How's his life been?
Well, real Albert is more than 80 years old, we believe. We're not 100% sure, but various people have examined him over the years. He's been in the family, the extended family, if you like, more than 50 years. My wife found him when she was a little girl and going home with her mum, and they found what they thought initially was a rock, because he does look a bit like a rock, which amuses sort of children in various schools now. When I go in to talk about Albert and the books, I hold up a big picture of real Albert and I go, you know, it looks a bit like a rock. And it does always get a bit of a laugh, because he does look a bit like a rock. Anyway, they thought he was a rock. They took him home, did the usual thing as we do these days, you know, for lost cats and dogs. Notices on lampposts, notices in the newsagent window. Anyone know this tortoise? No one came forward, but fortunately, they took him in, gave him a home, and named him Albert. And he's been in the family ever since. My wife and I took him on ourselves about 15 years ago. And, you know, he's sort of very much part of our family now. He just wanders the garden all summer long and does his thing. And we keep him fed and watered and such like. He doesn't pay rent as such, but, you know, he's quite entertaining in his own way. And we let him stay, you know, obviously. No, he's great. I mean, he is absolutely fascinating, Kieran. I couldn't possibly say I was a tortoise fan 20-odd years ago or whatever, or as a child even. But he is just fascinating. And I've done research on this now, and obviously we put facts in the back of the books, which you'll come on to. And, you know, the links to the dinosaurs and how historic tortoises and turtles are, it's just incredible how they survive and how they're sort of built to survive. And he is just a very fascinating creature, you know, this sort of what looks like a rock and that, you know, isn't up to much. There's a whole lot going on. You know, there's more to him than meets the eye. And he's absolutely fascinating, I think. So we've had him, you know, all that time. And it was probably about 5 years ago that he inspired the first Albert the Tortoise book, because they say you should write about, you know, things that happen, things you know about, they say. And indeed, you know, Albert Upside Down was the first book out pretty much a year ago that came out with Graphic. And he genuinely does every now and then go upside down. He'll sort of overreach himself in the garden or go on some rough ground, and over he'll go. He just sort of topples over. Now, normally we are there to come to his rescue, gently put him the right way around. But I got to thinking, well, what if we weren't around? What if the other little garden creatures had to have a go at putting him the right way around? They didn't really get on, a bit argumentative, bit of niggle between the little creatures. You know, they've got to overcome that teamwork, being kind to Albert, that sort of thing. And it just came together. It was just, you know, how do you explain writing? I can't explain writing. I've done it all my career, and it just came to me, and, you know, much improved thereafter from the first draft, I hope, but it was sort of fully formed, you know, and it was a lovely thing to write.
Wow. I mean, if you weren't a fan of tortoises before you got Albert, you definitely are now. Tortoise fanatic. So when you say he's been sleeping for months and months and he inspired books, where does he sleep in your garden? Is he like, can you still see him even if he's sleeping, or is he hidden away somewhere?
Well, he's hidden away. He's in a secure place, put it like that. But we do check on him during the more severe weather, you know, the severe months and such like. But he pretty much does his own thing. what I always say when I now talk about him in schools and such like is that we look after Albert in quite an old-fashioned way. He's quite an old tortoise now. Although, well, I say he's old. Interesting facts time. he's more than 80. But a tortoise just like him, a Greek spurthi or Mediterranean spurthi tortoise, lived to be 160 in this country. So he could only be halfway there. You know, he's got a lot of potential in him yet. But we look after him in sort of a way that suits him because it's just the way that he's always been looked after. So if you've got a new tortoise now, they would sell you, you know, like a big fish tank to go with it, special soil, heat lamps to keep them warm indoors and such like. There's a whole lot more technology involved now, and they don't like them, I don't think, to sleep as long as Albert sleeps, but it's just the way that suits him. We stick with it. Come, you know, late autumn, towards the winter, end of October, he pretty much slows down, stops eating, goes to sleep, and is ready to go to his bed, as it were. And we bed him down in a secure place, and that's it. You know, then eventually the days start to warm up, all being well. And we just sort of know, really, these days, you know, you just sort of feel it, oh, today's a bit nice, go and check on him. And hopefully then he's kind of moved position where he is. So, you know, one, he's survived and he's made it through the winter. And then maybe the next day or the day after, he'll be up, looking up, going, come on, get me up, I'm ready, you know, and he's back with us for the summer then. And it's always good to have him back.
Wow. So he could only be middle-aged, Albert.
Very much. You know, we're already talking to younger members of the family about, would you like to take on Albert? You know, and you have to do that with tortoises, I have to say. You know, as long as they make it to a certain age, they're then generally, hopefully, will make it to a grand old age. And you do have to think about their longevity, you know, very much so. And again, I keep telling people that, you know, if I start to talk about him, it's quite important, you know, because you don't want all these tortoises to be abandoned anywhere or anything like that. They are quite a commitment, really. Although they're pretty easy to maintain, they are quite a commitment.
So what would you say he does day to day? Does he roam the garden? Does he eat a lot of bushes? Or what does he kind of do in an average day?
Well, an average day for him, a packed day for him is a bit of a wander, a poop, a wee-wee, about two or three feeds, some nibbling on some grass, maybe a bit of digging, light digging, to find cooler ground if it's a hot day. May, you know, go under some bushes to find some shade. And that's a pretty full day, you know. It's, you know, as tortoises go, he does indeed do pretty much his own thing. We don't really, you know, disturb him too much. I wouldn't say he has a routine, but we sort of get him up. We put him away at night, so he's secure, because we have urban foxes around here and such like, and we don't want them to interfere with him. And so he goes away for the nighttime, and we get him up. Usually, if it's sunny, we put him in the sunshine, and that's what he needs to warm up and get active. And once he's warm, he's pretty speedy, actually. The other sort of misconception over real tortoises is how nippy they can be when they're warm. You know, he can really charge around the garden, do a lot of laps, and he does that. He nibbles on the grass, eats grass and clover from the lawn. We feed him, you know, salads. In the height of summer, when it's really lovely weather, he'll eat, you know, maybe three salads a day, of, you know, lettuce, green beans, cucumber, little bits of carrot, you know, various treats and things. And that's when he gains weight, which then is what, you know, helps him survive the winter, when of course he doesn't eat for up to 5 months, and while he's sleeping. So he has to gain weight, and he does all that. And other than that, he pretty much does his own thing. As I say, he tools around the garden, and there's not much to disturb him. Luckily, he has not a bad life, I hope.
Yeah, wow. What a day in the life of a social media influencing tortoise. That sounds great. I'd love to have his life.
Yeah, we always say that. We have cats as well, Kieran. And we always say in the house, you know, we say, you know, to come back as either these cats or the tortoise, but be looked after by us, you know, or to the same degree as us, it would be pretty good, actually. You know, we sort of, they're all very spoiled, these animals, in a way.
Pretty good. How do the cats get on with him? Do they get on?
Oh, fine. Yeah, they don't really mingle at all. You know, they sort of ignore him and he ignores them. There's no great interaction at all, I have to say. It's odd. It's they sometimes, he has like, again, you know, spoiled, of course. And of course, now he's a media star, with the books and all his own social sites and such like, you know, because real Albert, as well as the books, if you like, he's on Twitter, he's on Facebook, he's just gone on TikTok, he's on Instagram, he's all over the shop, he's on YouTube. So this social influencer book star has a little summer house in the garden on the lawn, which just offers him some shade. And sometimes the cats will squat in there, you know, they're squatters' rights. And he kind of turns up and he'll nudge them a little bit to get out. But that's about as far as it goes, really.
Nice. He should have his own house now. He's put the effort in, got those followers.
Yes.
So on to the books then. The first one you mentioned, which is based on what Albert's actually done in real life, Albert Upside Down, when he tips over onto his shell. When you said you were inspired to write about things in your life, how did you come across deciding to write books then, especially picture books?
Well, I've always written, Kieran. I've been lucky. I've been paid to write for more than 40 years. So I left school and just wanted to be a writer. And going way back then, I wrote, believe it or not, a handwritten letter, when people used to do that much more, to the BBC. I said, here I am, come and get me. And obviously I heard nothing back. but amazingly, I then did hear back about 6 months later. By then I'd got an interim job in a local shoe shop. I was selling shoes to near neighbours and such like. And I did hear back from the BBC and they said, we got your letter. And it was the original letter, even though by then I'd written about another 30 letters. I'd bought myself a typewriter and was now typing letters to them. But the original letter got a response and they called me in, and a very nice chat. I'll always be grateful to him. He said, you know, a way into this kind of world would be to become what they call the researcher, which would be someone who gets information for TV shows, whether they be factual or dramas even. You know, you get to sort out the details of, you know, who lives where, how long they've been there, you know, finding locations, maybe all sorts of things, just finding information really for shows. And of course that was at a time before the internet, Google, all that sort of thing. So that sort of job was actually quite an important job within telly. And he said a way to get into that world is by being a reporter, a newspaper reporter. So I went away and set about becoming a newspaper reporter. And fortunately, a neighbour, their daughter, was doing that very thing. And she was on a course in Harlow, in Essex. I applied for the course. You have to do an entry exam. And I got on it. And it's the National Council for the Training of Journalists course. And it's still a recognised course by the, you know, journalism industry. And I did that course for a year. It was a very thorough course, you know, a real grounding in what you needed to know to then go and work on a local paper, which were much bigger things back then, you know. But the paper I ended up on, I'm pleased to say, was a thing called the Hearts Advertiser in St Albans in Hertfordshire. And it was a big paper covering a very big area, and it was a great place to work. And I was there for about 5 years, but before that time came to an end, I was already starting to get shifts on like London evening papers like the Evening Standard, and then on national papers like the Sunday Express and the Sunday Mirror and places like that. And I sort of drifted into national papers, covering all sorts of things, and then becoming a sub-editor. And from there, I did get into television. You know, it was a roundabout way, but it was the way to do it. It took a lot of trying, though. You know, a lot of rejection. You have to develop quite a thick skin.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of rejection along the way as I tried to get into telly. But gradually I started to make headway into sort of news programs, and things grew from there. And from news programs and such like, I got into more entertainment programs. So that's how Top Gear came around, and I started to work on Top Gear. And This Is Your Life, the Big Red Book tribute show, and all sorts of other shows, game shows, entertainment shows, you know, variety shows back then, all sorts of things. And but writing and producing and researching and all sorts of different roles stemming from this sort of grounding in journalism and wanting to be a writer. But all that time, I was writing books or trying to write books. I was writing novels, adult books, chapter books, other picture books, and all the time trying to get published. And I just couldn't land a deal. I couldn't find an agent that wanted to take me on. I couldn't find a publisher. You know, people would say, oh, well, you worked on all these big television shows. And I was very lucky to work with a lot of famous names, you know, over the years. But I just couldn't land that deal. But I kept on trying, and I kept sort of various projects ticking over and resurrect them and send them out again and tinker with them and try and improve them and send them on. And then, as I say, 5 years ago, by which time I was working with Owen Clark, our wonderful illustrator of the Albert books, I was working with him on a couple of animation projects. We teamed up on that. And I said, I've had this idea about a picture book about a tortoise. Would you like to have a go at it? And fortunately for me, he said yes. And he obviously did the character designs and such like. And Albert went through quite a few changes, actually. Owen, it started out a bit more Disney-like, I suppose, Albert, the look of Albert. But then Owen and I we decided that it should be a bit more accurate to what a real tortoise looks like. And that's how Albert's look developed. And, you know, he just did the most amazing images, you know, bringing to life the garden and sort of like the smaller animals in the garden, the ants, the woodlice, the bees, the flies, all that's going on, the worms. And it's just great. And luckily, people have taken to his pictures and my words. And, you know, it's just a great thrill that Upside Down, Albert Upside Down, has grown as it has, you know, within a year, you know. And obviously with Graphegg, they like to do series of books. So book two came out last autumn, Albert and the Wind, again, based on something that really does happen to real Albert. You know, he eats salad, such like, lightweight food. If it's a blustery day, his food will blow away from him. And we normally go and gather it up. But I got to thinking, well, what if we weren't there to either give him some fresh food or find his food that's blown away? What if the other little creatures sort of bring it back to him, and then he has to come up with a sort of inventive way to say thank you to them all? And that came about. And now here we are, book three, Albert Supersize, which we're very excited about, because Owen is pretty obsessed with dinosaurs. And we've managed to get dinosaurs into the story. And he's gone, you know, absolutely over the top with the dinosaurs, which is brilliant. They look fantastic.
Yeah, wow. Amazing career, and then to go on to these books to work with Owen. It's always nice when you have such a nice collaboration that you both, you know, can create something that you're proud of. With regards to Owen then, how did you connect and then start working together on other projects?
Well, it was probably about 12 years ago now, I think, in that I had come up with an idea for something very different, in fact, a thing called The Bruvs, which is at thebruvs.com. So that's an online animation series, short animation series, about a couple of sort of Essex villains trying to mend their ways. And I was looking for someone to do sort of character design and some basic storyboarding for it to try and start pitching it around broadcasters and such like at the time. And I approached a company that represented a number of animators. And they put forward Owen, and from his first sketches, he was absolutely bang on with how I didn't know what these characters should look like particularly, but he was bang on, you know, it was absolutely right. And we just hit it off, luckily. And I did try and pitch that all over the place again. And again, you know, talk about having a thick skin, had to have a thick skin with that as well, because no one wanted it. Animation is a very expensive process and was more expensive back then.
Yeah.
Everyone was going, oh, well, it's a bit expensive. Don't know if we can take the risk, you know, that sort of thing. And I just couldn't, again, get that away as a project. So we just decided to have a go at it, you know, make a couple of episodes and put it on YouTube and see what happened. And we did, and it did okay. And then we started Facebook for it and Twitter, and it kind of grew a bit, you know, and we ended up doing t-shirts, and I think there's about 40 odd cartoons on the YouTube channel now for the Bruvs. It's very different to Albert, I have to say, anyone listening. It is more for grown-ups, or certainly teens, above teens. But it's great fun to do. We had a lot of fun doing it, and we're still trying to keep it going, really, but it's pretty much on the back burner now because of how Albert has grown so quickly. Yeah. But we love doing that. And so we worked on that and did other projects ourselves. We then teamed up on a couple of corporate projects, animation projects. And it was just a delight to sort of get into the Albert project, really, because, again, Owen was just absolutely in tune with what I sort of hopes and had in mind. And he just improves it every time he does a picture, you know. So obviously with a picture book, the pictures are incredibly important. And he just is wonderful at doing what he does. And that goes back to his childhood. You know, he would tell you this, that he loved, for example, the original sort of early Thomas the Tank Engine books and such like, and pictures in picture books where there was loads more going on than the sort of action in the front of the picture, if that makes sense. So there's all sorts of stuff going on in the background. And
yeah,
you know, as a young reader, or being read to by an adult, you know, there are lots of things to observe and talk about and point out, you know, and hopefully that was his hope, and it's my hope, you know, in the pictures in the Albert books, that is very much part of it. You know, there's all these little creatures and they're all got little expressions, and there's little side stories going on in the picture, and there are animals peeking out from under leaves and all that sort of thing. And you can sort of count the ants, and you can count the worms, and there's all sorts of things you can do while obviously just enjoying the story itself. But, you know, but there's more to the pictures, and that's what Owen wanted to try and make happen. And I think he's done it marvellously. And it is being pointed out to us now, actually, by sort of teachers and such like, that is very much part of the joy of the books. And we're thrilled to get that sort of feedback.
Yeah, the thing I love most about picture books, like you say, is that you've written those words, but then the illustrator can take those words and essentially expand on the world within the pictures and draw some things that you may not have mentioned, which just kind of builds the world. And if a child's reading it, then they can spot different things every time they read it. And what I loved and I noticed in the books is some of the animals even have like human clothes on, some of them have shoes. I think it's like a daddy long legs has like 8 shoes on him, and one of the ants has like a bobble hat. I think it's great. The illustration is brilliant in it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that they're actually, apart from the clothing, obviously, they are accurate. You know, Owen is, again, I said he was into dinosaurs. He's also into insects and such like. And, you know, he wanted the creatures to be accurate, you know, and they are accurate. You know, obviously they've got little faces to anthropomorphize them and make them more friendly, as it were.
Yeah.
But they're all pretty accurate. And we wanted that. And it's great to see. Yeah, no, I mean, the clothing isn't throughout, but it just adds a bit here and there to anthropomorphize the characters. And the ant with a hat on is sort of the ant commander, so he stands out as their leader. And it's great fun to do. And of course, because Owen is also a award-winning, I have to say that, he insists I always say that in front of his name, award-winning animation director, we've been asked by Graphic, and it's a great delight to do it, to do their first animated ebook versions of these books as well. And it's been great fun doing those as well. So they're out there. And the joy for me was doing all the daft voices of all the characters. And the only way I can do that is to sort of do my very bad impression of a famous voice. But because I'm so old, they're pretty much, their voices from the dim and distant past, you know, people from Carry On films and such like. And so I do my best with the voices, and it, you know, it's great fun to do. And they seem to be catching on as well. And it's lovely to do all that.
Could we get an example of a voice? What would the voice of Albert be?
Well, Albert, we decided that in the book, Albert is a good deal younger than real Albert, because obviously an 80-year-old having all these adventures, it wouldn't be necessarily all that good for him. But so Albert is just a very young, hopefully keen-voiced tortoise. So he's very, oh, do be careful, please, that sort of thing, just a bit more keen and youthful, as it were. But one of my favourites is the ant commander we mentioned, with the hat on. He's quite military, obviously, because ants are quite military. And so he bungs an H onto every vowel that comes along. So I think you're feigned. We are the best workers around, and that sort of thing. So he's quite military, hopefully. And then the spider, who in the first book, Albert Upside Down, only has one line or two words as a line. And I based him very much on sort of Leslie Phillips from the Carry On films and Terry Thomas, who was an actor who always played a bit of a cad in sort of a scoundrel in various films. And so he would, his spider descends on its thread, and various animals are bickering away about who's the best at working in the garden. And he just comes down and goes, hang on. And that's all he says, but it just tickles me, and it's great fun to do it.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was going to ask about the ebook series, but you conveniently went on to it. How is that process kind of different to the book process? Or would you say because you've already made the books that it's just kind of an expansion?
Well, now, because we know we're doing them, so for book 3 and 4, which obviously followed book 1 and 2. We kind of had almost done book 1 and 2 quite a bit when we pitched it to Graphic all those years ago. And we obviously weren't aware of the animated ebook demand, as it were, at that point. But for book 3 and 4, we had it slightly in the back of our minds for the layout of the pages and such like. So it's not, obviously it's not full on animation, but what it is a bit of movement, eye movement, camera moves across a page or something like that. So, I mean, sort of has that slightly in the back of his mind as he does the layouts, the designs and the drawings. But it isn't the preeminent thing. Obviously, the picture book is the key issue to sort out. But, you know, it's nice to have a butterfly actually flying away, or a bee flying across the page or something like that. And that's what we do in the ebooks, the animated ebooks. And it's great to do it, you know, and they come with read-along text, obviously my narration with the silly voices. And they're just a bit of fun to do, you know, and they also provide, what is a nice thing as well, rather nice trailers, you know, for the books. Graphic sort of take a section of the animation and turn that into a trailer. And it's great to be able to play that on the social medias.
Perfect, yeah. I love Albert Supersize. You said the other two, Upside Down and then With the Wind, is based on things which actually happened to Albert. Where do you think this one comes from?
Well, we have actual facts in the back of the books, because we wanted them to be a little bit educational as well. Not, yeah, you know, ram it down your throat with the children. Learn something, facts, but hopefully fun facts, interesting facts. You know, children really like giving you information. You know, I'm going into a lot of schools now with the books, and the hands shoot up as soon as I go into the room, you know, and they're going, did you know, so and so, so. You know, they want to give you information, which is great. And they've done their own bit of research on tortoises or reptiles or, you know, the food that Albert eats or whatever. And that's great. So we wanted that element at the back of the books, just to add something else to them. And I have an amazing help with those from someone in America, actually, who became a very big fan of Albert very early on. And she runs a an amazing charity out there, actually, called Sofa Cushion Challenge, which sounds peculiar, but it is sort of a fun way to find loose change that might have fallen out of your pocket. You know, you have a rummage down the sofa cushions or chair cushions, and if there's a bit of change there, see what you found, round it up to a nice round figure, and then donate it to Tortoise Turtle Charity, and which helps sick and injured tortoises get help and then hopefully be rehomed. And they're based in California. And so, slight side issue, Albert, real Albert, is now the UK ambassador, which is just amazing, for Sofa Cushion Challenge and the California Turtle Tortoise Club Valley section. And it's just amazing that he's been chosen for this. And it's all based on this lovely lady, Carrie Hernandez, finding Albert online and buying the books and just adopting Albert almost instantly. So, and she's incredibly knowledgeable, obviously, about turtles and tortoises, more than me, on turtles and tortoises. So I pass things by her to check things and make sure they're right. And one of the facts that cropped up for book, you know, after book one and two, was that studies have been done on sleeping reptiles, including tortoises and turtles. And there was significant, as I understand it, significant brain activity. So the thought is that tortoises might dream during their hibernation, their long sleep. Technically, it's called brumation, I should say, but we all say hibernation. Their long sleep. And so I thought, well, crikey, what kind of a massive dream could Albert have if he was, you know, dreaming for nearly 5 months? So dinosaurs came into it. And I'm just thrilled that we were able to get dinosaurs into a story so quickly, because we, you know, Aaron and I love dinosaurs. And it's just great to, you know, have Albert interact in a way in the story with dinosaurs. And Owen really went to town with his pictures. You know, he really has gone to town creating that Jurassic landscape. And there's a volcano, and there's all sorts of dinosaurs. And it's just wonderful. You know, we're thrilled with the outcome of it all. And that was the start of it. It was literally a fact that possibly tortoises dream, you know, incredible. And it just sparked something. And again, it sort of came fully formed. I really cannot explain. I don't want to get all sort of nerdy about the writing process. I just cannot explain it. Possibly, you know, because I've worked in television and visual media for so long, I kind of think of things in pictures, as it were, of like, oh, that shot could follow that shot or whatever. And indeed, Owen kind of works like that as well. So we envisage the story as a almost like a storyboard for an animation rather than a page by page book. You know, we need a bit of excitement there and a bit of quiet stuff there and move it on there and whatever. And it just sort of came to me as like almost like a short film. This book, and indeed the fourth book, which is coming in September. And they just came almost fully formed, and I just had to scribble them down as quickly as I could. And then obviously you polish and polish and change. And as you said earlier, once Owen does the pictures, they just add so much. And that's when you pull out so many words. You know, the words are just redundant because the pictures are telling the story. And dozens and dozens of words come out. But don't necessarily get wasted, because you can hold them back for another story, maybe. But, you know, it's a great joy to sort of have those moments where it all just comes together and you can scribble it down, and X months later, it's a book. It's just incredible. A real thrill for both of us, I have to say.
Yeah. How does that work? Do you send him the words and then he just does illustrations, or is there elements of feedback and just redrafts, and then you're working together on both aspects of it?
For the first two books, I'd kind of written them, but we chatted about it extensively, because obviously at that point there was no publisher, there was no deal, there was no nothing. I just needed something to show people. I think from memory, I think he did a couple of full color images and some character designs of Albert, you know, once we'd settled on the actual look of Albert, what we wanted it to be. And then it was kind of storyboarded in bits. And that's what I used to pitch to Graphic initially. But then subsequently, so really book three and four became a slightly different process. So Albert Supersize was the first of our sort of new way of looking as of working, as it were, in which I said, I've had this idea for a story, it's this. And in that instance, because as I said, I kind of saw it as a mini movie instantly. And I did do some very, very rough, I cannot draw, you know, certainly compared to others, I cannot draw at all. And I did some very rough thoughts on this might be the picture here and this might be the picture there. And then loads were left blank because I said, oh, just big question mark. Like I had no idea what the image would be. I sent that to him and then we'd meet up, have a chat. And it sort of just develops from there. But Owen will say, oh, I don't know what that will be, but leave it with me, you know, and amazingly, he just comes up with a solution. Yeah. And it's brilliant, you know, always. And I'm thrilled about that. And so it is quite collaborative. And in fact, believe it or not, dare I say, we're actually tentatively looking at working on a book five, Albert, for next year, we hope. And actually, that it was Owen's initial idea because he just said, you know, I really fancy having a go at this as a story and as art and illustrations. And I said, well, yeah, that could be interesting, you know, so we sort of developed that a bit together, and that's coming together slowly as we speak. So that's slightly different again, you know, so it's a very fluid working process, really. I wouldn't say there was any set way that it happens. I have a, you know, an idea for something, or he has an idea for something, or I leave him to solve a problem, you know, of what the artwork will be. And fortunately he does. And then sometimes the art, you know, his illustrations will come back to me and I'll think of an extra joke or a better line or something. So it is back and forth. It's sort of a bit of a game of tennis with how it all comes together. And luckily we haven't fallen out yet, you know, so we still get on. And it is just, you know, lovely when umpty weeks after he starts a project, you know, these pictures start coming through, and it's just wonderful to see what he does, because he works in oils for the Albert books. So they are paintings, you know, he'll obviously do drawings to start with and such like. They're oil paintings, which he then scans into the computer and they then get processed and such like. And then when they're in the computer, he has the option to shift characters to make room for words, or, you know, to close up a gap where there might be fewer words or something. And but that all goes then to Graphegg, and they Joanna there designs pages, and we get that back, and then we have a chat about that. And maybe artwork needs to change slightly sometimes, either a position of something or foliage even, or character might need to be made smaller or shifted just so you can see the words clearly. Sometimes I'll chop a line because it's just blocking a great image or something and isn't necessarily needed there. And it's just, again, as I say, a very fluid process that's so far has been most enjoyable and very easy to do. You know, it's just a nice way of working. For years and years, you know, working in television, I would go to bigger and bigger meetings on scripts, you know, growing from three or four people to dozens in a room, you know, executive producers, producers, researchers, assistant producers, edit producers, all with an opinion on what you were writing and all wanting to express their opinion and comment on the words. And it was just almost soul destroying, I have to say, because it was just an endless process of change. You know, I know writing, everyone says writing is all about rewriting, but there does come a limit sometimes. And certainly in television, I was finding it was getting really, really, you know, round and round the houses to come to a final script, you know, and it was becoming less and less enjoyable. This at the moment is most enjoyable. I've wanted to do this for so long, and to actually be doing it now is great. And the other thing I would say, Kieran, on the process of making the books is we just got, I mean, it, you know, it sounds terrible to say it, but Owen and I had what could only be described as a good lockdown, because it was an opportunity to sort of really crack on with book 3 and 4. And it was just wonderful to have that quiet time, if you like. And it sounds a bit selfish maybe, but it just was a very productive time for us. We just got on with it. And also all the time that the first lockdown was going on, we were waiting for the first book, Albert Upside Down, to come out. And all through it, what had been really side thoughts for the book, you know, about little animals teaming up, overcoming their differences, helping others, being kind, literally helping someone back on their feet. Day after day, week after week, as the lockdown went on, all those issues became more and more relevant to our everyday life, you know, to supporting local shops, supporting local cafes, supporting your neighbours, supporting family, supporting friends as best you could through the lockdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would talk to Owen on the phone. I go, this is just crazy. You know, this book is now really, really relevant to what's going on today. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to change lives or anything like that, but it's just crazy how what was an idea, you know, maybe 5 years before, suddenly, because of a certain set of circumstances, becomes totally topical and relevant. It was just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Ben, it obviously became quite a productive time, and then you mentioned these kind of themes in the book became more prominent and they made more sense for the time and they really came to light. Do you think these books do have some good messages in there for children to take away from it?
Well, I hope so. I suppose that's the aim of picture books generally, isn't it? That there's some kind of a little message in there. And it really wasn't deliberate at all. You know, I didn't think, for example, for Albert Upside Down, I didn't think, oh, right, this is going to be about kindness. This is going to be about teamwork. This is going to be about a butterfly landing and, you know, how the smallest bit of help can make the biggest difference sometimes. Yeah. That wasn't the thought at all, I have to say. It just sort of happened. And likewise with all the other books, you know, Albert and the Wind, about sort of saying thank you nicely. And also now with Albert Supersize, about sort of learning a lesson from one set of circumstances and applying it to solve a problem in real life, as it were. Again, that wasn't really the aim of the writing. It was to sort of have a fun story, really, with dinosaurs in it.
Yeah.
And I just sort of had this idea. It all came together. And so it's not really a bang, bang, bang message. It just sort of comes together. But as I say, now I'm going into schools and doing readings and talking about real Albert and tortoises and turtles in general. I'm just seeing firsthand how it is all having sort of some sort of impact on children and what they're being taught. I went to a lovely little nursery school the other day, and very sweetly, I have to say, the children had prepared a salad for real Albert for me to take home. And they've been learning about vegetables and fruit and how to chop fruit and vegetables and things that were good for them to eat and all that sort of thing. And it was just a real side issue to the book. You know, obviously we talk about what real Albert eats in the facts in the book. But the teachers there had sort of used that to create this lesson for those little children. And it was just really sweet. And they'd written Albert's name on the box and all this sort of thing. And it was just a really lovely little side thing that has come out of the books. And this is going on all over the place now. Every school I go into, there's another thing being learnt. You know, they're learning about ants, or they're learning about bees, or they're learning about worms. And it's just lovely to see. And I'm thrilled that that is happening. It is a lovely, lovely thing to happen, because when I was young, I was totally encouraged to read and write when I was a youngster. My nan used to read to me for hours, and my parents did. And I had some great teachers who really, really encouraged me with my writing, I'm pleased to say. And I'm just now thrilled to go into schools and try and encourage new generations to sort of enjoy books and to have a go at creative writing if they want to. I always make sure to say, you know, please do your schoolwork as well. But if you've got time and, you know, there's something you want to have a go at writing, please have a go at it. And the responses are great. You know, the number of little children are saying, I've already written a book, or I've written a comic book, or I've written a song, or I've written a rap or something. You know, it's just great. It's really good to see that. And I hope that continues. You know, I'm going to more and more schools and meeting more and more children. And that's just becoming part of it now. You know, this whole sort of thing of the joy of books, the joy of words. You know, it's lovely to be sort of sharing that with all these children.
Nice. So you mentioned that they learn a lot about insects and tortoises. Do you kind of have a lot of extra tortoise history and facts that you kind of share? And does Albert ever go into schools, or do you have a replacement Albert kind of model for that?
Yeah, well, I tend not to take Albert. One, he's been asleep all this time anyway, but I'm not sure it would be great for him to travel like that. So I do indeed have like a model tortoise that I take, which is pretty accurate, actually. He's a very clever chap, carves them out of old coconut shells, and they're very good, and the kids do love them. And then they can pass that round. You know, they couldn't really pass round Albert. That wouldn't be quite fair on him. And they sort of understand about the shell then and how that works and all that sort of thing. So that works very well. And yes, I do. I do sort of try to share with them sort of all the sort of stuff about what Albert eats and how he goes into his winter sleep, and about other tortoises as well. You know, like Albert could live to be 160, but there is this amazing tortoise called Jonathan on St. Helena, who's a giant tortoise. And the kids love to hear that he is now 190 years old. You know, he's in the Guinness Book of Records now, world record holder, oldest living land animal, oldest reptile, oldest tortoise, all these records, 190. It's just incredible. And then when I say that turtles, Albert's cousins, have been around for 250 million years since before the dinosaurs, their little faces just light up. You know, that's a, you know, real incredible. I don't think they understand the number necessarily, but it's like incredible. You know, before the dinosaurs is, you know, just sort of blows their minds a bit. And it's just great to share all that with them. And that then triggers other, you know, lessons with them as well. Of course, the other thing as well is that they're all liking to have a go at drawing Albert as well, which is great. You know, whether they're trying to draw the real Albert or draw picture book Albert, it doesn't really matter. It's just great that they're having a go at it. And Owen's thrilled about that as well. So much so we've done, in fact, on Albert's website, the sort of draw along with Owen video of how to draw Albert. And also through Graphic, which is a great thing that they do, there are sort of free colour in sheets for all the books, which you can download either from the Graphic website or from Albert's website. And children are all, you know, having those as well, and having a go at, you know, colouring in Albert as well. It's great. Really great to see all that. You know, just encouraging a bit of sort of creativity and such like is just so rewarding. It's wonderful.
Yeah, wow. One thing and one question which I would love to know, for me and anyone who also is slightly confused by this, which you may know, what then is the key differences between turtles and tortoises?
Well, here we go. Right. well, my understanding, turtles go in the water, basically. And tortoises, while Albert will walk through his water bowl, for example, and because he's a smallish tortoise, the theory is probably he would float for a bit in not too rough water. We wouldn't try it. Don't try that at home, please. He's not a swimmer, you know, he's not. Turtles have flippers. They live in the ocean, general rivers, lakes, whatever, all sorts of turtles out there. The other slight confusion, I suppose, is that what tends to happen is in America, particularly, they call tortoises and turtles turtles. They call them all turtles. So now Albert has an awful lot of friends in America through Facebook and Twitter and such like. You know, they all call him a turtle. And that's fine. That's just the way it is. But I suppose technically he's a land animal and therefore he is a tortoise. He has little claws on the end of his feet, which help him with his digging and such like. Turtles have flippers. And so we've all seen the sort of David Attenborough footage of the turtles laying their eggs on beaches and then crawling their way back to the sea as quickly as possible. And likewise, when they hatch on the beaches, they all head to the sea, hopefully for safety, because they're safer there than on land. And that's the fundamental difference, I think. Turtles in water,
yeah.
Tortoises on land, you know.
Wow. I've learned something today. I've never known why, really. And I've even looked it up and I'm still confused because I think the American calling everything a turtle is very confusing, but very interesting.
It does also lead to some great names, Kieran, I have to say, because, you know, obviously he's got all these actual tortoise friends now, as well as human friends. So, but in America, you get all sort of Myrtle the turtle and all that sort of thing. And it's just great. It's just great. Well, they're all with a T, generally speaking, you know, so Tommy, Tilly,
yeah,
Tammy.
Alliteration.
Tiggy. And there are some good ones as well, but, you know, like thinking about their speed. Because, well, this is the other amazing fact, you know, that the children love when I go into schools is, you know, everyone thinks tortoises are slow, but when they're warm, when they're nice and warm, Albert's like a rocket. You know, he's really quick around the garden. And there's footage on YouTube of a little tortoise like Albert playing football with a little dog. And the dust is flying and the tortoise is really keeping up with the dog, you know, getting to the football before it. And all that. So they're pretty nippy. So there's a lot of sort of fun names for these tortoises, like Turbo and Whoosh and Speedy and things like that. And I love it when they're named like that.
I'm learning a lot today about tortoises. But yeah, what can you kind of tell us about the future of Albert then? What are the plans for the future or Albert's future?
Well, hopefully more books. Obviously, we've got Albert Supersize now, book three. Book four is coming in, I think, September with Graphic. That'll be Albert in the Air, another adventure with him where he, in that one, he escapes from the garden, Kieran. It's a very big adventure. He goes into the big outside world. And as I say, we're just tentatively starting on book five and beyond that. And then we're still doing the animated ebooks. And, you know, Albert, of course, is real Albert as well. So Graphic did do a calendar this year, 2022, of real Albert, real Albert pictures. And we'll see what happens next year. We've got T-shirts now, believe it or not, Albert T-shirts. And they're quite fun. It's just a joy, you know, to come up with all these little ideas that what can we do with Albert or, you know, around Albert now. And it's just sort of all growing, you know, particularly on Facebook, I have to say, is the following on Facebook is growing quite a lot each day. And I'm delighted to see that. And it's helping to spread the word about the books, obviously, more and more. Albert Upside Down and Albert and the Wind have been put into Welsh because of Graphic's obviously Welsh roots and their Welsh base and such like. So that's great to see that. It's just wonderful. It's just, you know, the world is our tortoise, you know. It's sort of, it's who knows what will happen. It's just really exciting. You know, we're up to book three, as I say, T-shirts, calendar,
yeah,
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's just all go, you know.
Yeah, well, it might be a very busy summer before Albert gets well-earned rest again next winter.
Absolutely.
I was just looking at your T-shirts. I love them. They're awesome. Then final question to wrap it up. Where can people find Albert the Tortoise books and ebooks and all of the stuff you've mentioned today?
Right. Well, two ways. You can go, obviously, to the publisher, graphegg.com, and have a rummage around that site. Other wonderful books are available. But, of course, I heartily recommend anything around Albert the Tortoise, especially. But also, we do now recommend for overseas books that you go to Book Depository, where you can find Albert the Tortoise, all listed there. But One Stop Wonder is alberttortoise.com, where you find all the links for Albert on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the Albert Shop, and much, much more, and pictures and information about real Albert as well. And if you can bear it, about illustrator Owen and myself as well. We're on there as well. So alberttortoise.com is the other place to go if you want to find about Albert the Tortoise.
Very nice. Thank you. A lot of amazing things on both Graphic, obviously, and Albert the Tortoise website. Pick yourself up a t-shirt. I just want to say thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been fascinating to hear about Albert's life and the books. I love the books. I think Owen's done a great job with the illustration as well. Just to big him up some more before the end of the episode. And yeah, I look forward to hearing way more from Albert over the coming months while he's in his prime.
Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Kieran. Yes, indeed. All praise to Owen for his pictures in the picture books of Albert. And indeed, all thanks to Graphic, you know, for making this happen. It's just been a pleasure to work with them and everyone there. And a delight to bring Albert to life in this way. It's an absolute thrill, and it remains so, luckily, as we go on and on and on, hopefully.
Yeah, I look forward to the future, Albert, and thank you for coming on the Meet the Author podcast. It's been great to have you on, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you, Kieran. Thanks very much.
Big thanks to Ian Brand for coming on the podcast today to talk about Albert the Tortoise series and the real-life Albert. Fascinating to learn about tortoises and turtles, and also hear about his collaboration with Owen Clark, the illustrator. Copies of the book can be found at Albert the Tortoise website and graphic.com, as well as all good bookstores. This has been Meet the Author podcast, brought to you by Graphic Publishing, presented and produced by me, Kieran Minetta-Jones. Other episodes of Meet the Author can be found on graphic.com or wherever you are listening to this podcast. Please share and leave a review so other people can hear about the stories behind the books from the authors themselves.